Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI, Public Radio International, in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Hey, you want that to go?
An extended takeout now about some news developments out of Pakistan that are significant this morning. We're joined by Marvin Weinbaum, former State Department analyst on Afghanistan and Pakistan. He's currently a scholar at the Middle East Institute. Good morning, Marvin Weinbaum.
Good morning.
So let's talk about the two headlines this morning. First, the U.S. apparently now believes that the Taliban's leader in Pakistan, Hakimullah Massoud, is dead. And we're getting details of the attack on a convoy that killed three U.S. soldiers in the northern Pakistan that certainly has raised the issue of what are U.S. troops doing, training or otherwise, inside Pakistani territory. Which do you think is the most important, Marvin?
Well, actually, over the long run, anything which disrupts the activities of the Pakistan Taliban will have great effect. The fact that the Americans were targeted and eventually something like this happened, I think it was something like this was bound to happen in that the locals knew that there were Americans in the area, even though they were effectively disguised. They were not dressed in uniform. They wore local clothing. But foreigners have a way of standing out.
Well, but it also suggests that the Taliban is so entrenched in that area of Pakistan that they can basically turn the locals, and that no matter how camouflaged they are, foreigners are really not safe operating covertly.
No, nor is anyone safe in that area. Foreigners are kept out of that area. It's a district adjoining SWAT, which got into the headlines last year. And we know that there's a great deal of presence of the Pakistan Taliban in that area. It's called Lower Deer.
Evaluate for us this remark from Richard Holbrooke, who of course, is the special U.S. envoy to Pakistan and Afghanistan. He spoke about this attack yesterday.
They were on their way to the inauguration of a girls' school in the western area of Pakistan. Obviously a great tragedy, and we are deeply regretful of the loss of life.
Now, he's referring there to a USAID program, which is what this school apparently was. Aside from the regret associated with the loss of life, these development projects are increasingly becoming targets of insurgents, right, Marvin Weinbaum?
Right. What we've been doing, though, is we haven't branded them normally. Many of the locals are not supposed to know that where the money for it is coming. But, of course, if we show up and commemorate its opening, that does suggest a link to the U.S. I think that also we should remember that these were special forces. These are regular American troops in that special category that we have, and they were sent there because the Pakistan Army has refused to have trainers with its own forces, but said, yes, you can go ahead and train this Frontier Corps, which is a paramilitary force, and quite important in putting down the insurgency and sustaining that fact.
What is the political sensitivity likely to be of these three U.S. soldiers found on Pakistani territory doing, even as you say, a job that the Pakistani military doesn't want to do?
Yeah. It's grist for the mill for those who are beating up on the United States on a regular basis in the press, the media generally, who are saying that the United States, with the permission of the government of Pakistan, is permitting them to do things which impinge on the sovereignty of Pakistan. So you could say, though, our standing in Pakistan is so low it can't get much lower. And that also applies to our drone attacks.
Which is apparently the modality by which Hakimullah Massoud died, a drone missile attack. Is he likely to be replaced quickly, and is his loss significant?
Well, he will. There are two or three people lined up to replace him. But any time you have a transition like this, it does create questions about the future of the movement. And they're reeling anyway because of the more aggressive approach of the Pakistan Army in South Waziristan, in an area called Bajur. So that this is certainly a difficult time for the Taliban, but they are so entrenched that I certainly wouldn't think that by any means with the death of any one or more people that right. The movement is entirely back on its heels.
All right, well, thanks for that. A full briefing from Marvin Weinbaum there, former State Department analyst on Afghanistan and Pakistan, currently a scholar at the Middle East Institute, reporting about how entrenched but still possibly reeling the Taliban in Pakistan.
And now a takeout from our listeners. Our coverage of Don't Ask, Don't Tell has generated a slew of responses. Yesterday, retired Colonel David F. Beattie compared the Army to a gated community.
What most people don't understand is that the military is a pretty cloistered sort of community, kind of like a gated community. It's a lot different than the rest of society. It's much more culturally conservative.
That sparked a response from Bob of Massachusetts.
Apparently, the senior military advisor that was on your show thinks that the gated community is very homophobic. So I think they need to come into the 21st century.
More comments on our website, thetakeaway.org. Yesterday, we also reported that Galveston, Texas, has received some federal money in the wake of Hurricane Ike, but it may have come too late for some beleaguered residents. One listener from Utah thought we were just stirring up trouble.
What are you trying to do? Get the mayor to convince over the fact that relief went to Haiti faster and in larger quantities than it came to Galveston? I mean, are you trying to convey a news story? Are you trying to just stir stuff up?
While Super Bowl Sunday might be exciting for some of us, that's just not so for listener Charlie Marino, who suggested we spend our airtime in other ways.
I suggest that, one, we think whether or not anyone who's listening to your type's radio show would even care about the Super Bowl, and whether or not it's really worth in this day and age to spend time on what kind of food people are going to shove down their throats during this useless and overblown preoccupation.
Why, thank you. I'd be happy to come over for your Super Bowl party. That would be great. Sure, I'll be there on the Sunday at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. We'd love to know, do you care about the Super Bowl or not? Anything you can weigh in on this program at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org. Tomorrow, it's the week. Who had a good week? Who had a bad week?
Coming up, we're going to talk to top U.S. intelligence officials say it's highly likely we'll see another attempted terrorist attack in the next 3 to 6 months. Should Americans breathe a sigh of relief? We're going to talk about it in a moment.